Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Launching a new message series for a new season, the season of Lent, of course. And we're calling the series, I'm Fine. I'm Fine. It's a comfort zone security blanket go-to kind of answer to the go-to question, how are you? But it can actually mean many different things. I did a little research in the last week and came up with the top five things we actually mean when we say, I'm fine. Number one, I am not fine. But it is easier to say I'm fine than to explain to you how I'm really feeling. Number two, this is not the time or place for this discussion. Number three, I'm struggling, but I don't want you to know that because I can already feel your judgment. Number four, I am in complete denial about how I'm really doing. And number five, go away. One of the reasons people love reality TV and juicy gossip is that we can see the dysfunction of others on display, and it takes the focus off ourselves and our own hurts and hang-ups. Sure, I may have problems, but I'm not as bad as them. Yet, even in our denial and deflection, we often intuitively feel that all is not well, all is far from well. We know that we're wounded. Having wounds is just part of the human condition. Physical, emotional, relational, mental, spiritual wounds are simply a reality. Some of our wounds are shallow, others deep. Some are old and familiar, others are fresh and raw. There are those among us this morning who are struggling with debilitating diagnosis or suffering from chronic pain. They're literally physically wounded. There may be emotional wounds among us, fear, doubt, tension, trauma, anxiety. There are the wounds that come from loss, the loss of a job, the loss of money, the loss of a loved one. We have self-inflicted wounds too, from our own sin and selfishness and bad behaviors. And then there are the wounds of the heart. You may have wounds from broken relationships. You were abandoned, rejected, ignored, betrayed. You went through a painful, bitter divorce. Or simply words, the words that wound, careless words or not so careless words. I can still remember the words from my fifth grade teacher after being denied an award that I'd worked hard for and earned. She said, "Somebody needs to clip Michael's wings." Imagine saying that to a seventh grade boy. I never forgot it. The question is not whether you have wounds or not. The question becomes what you do with the wounds you most certainly have. How do you handle them? And ultimately, there are two choices, and really only two choices. And we see those choices on display from the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, which we read from on this first Sunday of Lent. We tend to think of Genesis as a fairy tale or a child's fable. I don't believe it's a fairy tale, but even if you do, fairy tales can contain important truths. So even if you don't accept that this is literally what happened, that it's more poetry than history, don't miss out on the wisdom in Genesis. The story of creation in Genesis in particular offers real insight into the human condition, helping us make sense out of the world around us. In the second chapter, we read, "The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being." It is God's breath that gives us life and animates us. Our hearts and souls are meant to experience and know the love of our Creator. That's our natural condition. That love is the origin and it's the destiny of the whole of our lives. "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." God intimately creates human beings, and then he creates a perfect environment for them to live and work in. He creates paradise. Our hearts and souls are made for paradise. We're meant to live in that perfect environment that God shaped. We're meant to live a life of absolute harmony with our Creator, with one another, and with ourselves. But that is not the world that you and I were born into, is it? It's not the world that we experience on a daily basis. And Genesis tells us what went wrong. God's creation is good. He's not to blame for what's wrong in the world. When God created the world as he wanted it, there was no suffering and sickness. There was no disease or death. None of those things were part of the plan. But freedom was. Even in paradise, from the very beginning, there was freedom to choose. Freedom to choose right or wrong, good or bad. Evil is not so much a condition as it is a choice. That's what we see in today's gospel reading in the exchange between Satan and Christ. Evil is not so much a condition, it's a choice. A choice to turn away from God and his love, a choice to turn away from living in connection and dependence on him. The tree of life represents the choice to rely on God and his wisdom. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, on the other hand, represents the choice to rely on ourselves and our own will and way. And that's what happened. It's called original sin. But it's not really a sin. At least, it's not our sin. We would do better to call it the original wound, which we inherited from our parents. Take a look at what happened. The serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The temptation is to distrust God. And notice the lie that slips in here about God. God had said that there was only one tree they couldn't eat from, but the tempter twists that to suggest more. Distrust always begins with a lie, and a lie begets another lie. The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" The tempter's first lie is matched by another one from Eve. God told her not to eat from the tree. She amplifies that prohibition. She makes it broader. "You shall not eat or even touch the tree, lest you die." And then the tempter, seeing an opening in Eve's lie, exploits it with another, a third lie. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall certainly not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil.'" God's holding out on you. He's keeping good things from you. If you want to truly find life and live life, a life worth living, you've got to do it on your own. So what happened? The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The first man and woman give in to the temptation to trust in themselves instead of God, looking for more, finding less. That's the way it is with evil. It promises everything and delivers nothing, nothing at all. Then the eyes of both were open, and they realized that they were naked. We cannot completely understand the spiritual principle of original sin. It's a trauma that is well beyond anything we can comprehend. It brought about a threefold alienation from God, from ourselves, and from one another. This alienation, in turn, results in disorder and disruption in the world around us, the fragmentation and fragility of our own life experience, and broken relationships. This first sin is a sin of pride. Pride built on the lie that apart from God, we can live a more successful life. Only Adam and Eve had this original sin. We did not. And in that sense, original sin seems quite unfair. Unfair, that is, until we acknowledge that we repeat this sin in our own lives over and over again all the time. We're tempted towards pride all the time in so many ways, but perhaps most of all when it comes to our wounds. In our pride, we often deny our wounds or our need for healing. In our pride, we think we can handle it all alone and on our own. We don't need anybody's help. In our pride, we turn to other things to compensate, which can lead to addiction and lots of other problems too. Even medicine and psychology should not be relied upon apart from God. They're instruments of God's healing. God is the healer. It is prideful to look for healing apart from Him. But the good news of our woundedness is that we have been born into a broken world that Jesus Christ came to restore and renew. He came to restore all things to their intended wholeness. He came to restore you to your intended wholeness. But for that to happen, you have to acknowledge your need for healing. And let me tell you what's at stake when it comes to this series. Because we've all seen this in other people, right? They play the victim and wear their wounds like a badge of honor. Their sense of entitlement is so annoying. Their sense of neediness is so unattractive. Or their hurt just comes out of them. It erupts all the time. They act out. Their anger, their outrage, their defensiveness. They act out of their woundedness, and it impacts the people around them, especially the people they love the most. Because hurt people hurt people. You've worked with them. You've worked for them. You've lived with them. You've loved them. And you do not want to be like them. And that's what this series is all about. It's all about moving on, moving forward beyond hurt to healing, health, and wholeness.
Healing, health, and wholeness. So we want to encourage you to make three commitments as we begin this series. First, commit to come here. Join us here on Ridgely Road or join us live online for the next four Sundays of Lent. And be on the lookout for somebody to invite because this is definitely a series for everyone. Second commitment, enter into the full spirit of this series. If you're in a small group, make sure you make those small groups each week. If you're not in a small group, you can join a Just for Lent group. You can stop by the Next Steps kiosk out on the concourse, and we'll get you started. Also, through the course of the series, we're going to have many avenues of healing. We're going to have anointing of the sick one weekend. We're going to have confessions all weekend long another weekend. And then we'll have prayer teams available after Mass another weekend. So make sure you make use of those opportunities. Along with those weekend opportunities, our healing prayer team will be praying with people from 7 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday in the Cafe Pavilion. So you might want to consider that as well. And then the third commitment is to be open. To be open to what Jesus wants to do in this series, how Jesus wants to heal you. And so we're going to make that commitment together right now. I invite you to close your eyes and just to open up your hands, open up your palms, and to pray quietly in your heart. Jesus, I acknowledge I have hurts. I have wounds that need healing. Jesus, I acknowledge I need your healing, that you are my healer, that you alone can heal me. And Jesus, I am open. I am open to how you want to heal me through the course of this series. I am open to how you want to heal my body, my mind, my soul, my heart, my relationships. Jesus, I open the door of my life to you. I open the door of my heart to you, Jesus. I invite you to come in and to heal me as you see fit. Pray this in your name. Amen. It's a great first step for all of us to take on this journey. And I believe God wants to do great things through this series in our parish. He wants to set people free. He wants to mend hearts. He wants to make whole what's been broken. And if we'll take this journey, he will not only have an impact on our lives, but he will use us in the service of others. Because while hurt people, healed people heal people.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.